Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. We are 2 days away from the Steelers' primetime date in Cincinnati, a place where the Steelers have won a ton, but they are trying to end a dubious drought under Mike Tomlin, and that is the inability to win AFC North games on a short week. Yes, it is a very kind of niche category of game here, very narrow category of game, road, short week, AFC North. But Tomlin's been here almost two decades, and he's never done it. And so that's why I think it's a little bit in his head. And that's why we got, and believe it or not, Malzi and I both knew this, that this was kind of choreographed, that Tomlin last week was seething about this trade, was cussing a blue streak about this trade,
yes, he was.
And allegedly kind of primed the pump and told reporters to ask him about this trade because he promised that something viral would happen, and it did. It came up, and he delivered. He was true. He was true to his word on it.
He likes to use his weekly press conference on occasion as a pulpit to get a message out, and no mistake in this one.
Right. So the part I like about it is it dunks on the Browns, and they've been such a hapless franchise, they deserve it. And they do have a GM who thinks he's smarter than everybody who runs their team. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't mince words here and you don't do anything anonymously and you come right out and say, yeah, this guy thinks he's smarter than everybody else, but really he's an idiot. I do appreciate that as a Steelers fan. What is most interesting about this comment, though, that now has been talked about for almost 24 hours, is why did Mike Tomlin choose now to do something he never does? Which is talk about somebody else's business. That's one of his 10 commandments as a coach. I worry about the Steelers. I talk Steelers on Tuesdays. I'll only talk about the team we're playing if it pertains to that matchup. I'm not going to talk about a trade another team made. I'm not going to talk about a signing another team made. I'm worried about us. And instead, he took this opportunity to blast the Browns for giving Joe Flacco to the Bengals. And here we go. Mere days after that trade happened, Flacco's going to suit up against the Steelers in this game. My theory is he is maybe not scared to death, but he is concerned about Joe Flacco. He thinks he respects Joe Flacco. He thinks Joe Flacco, even at 40, is a very dangerous man. And I frankly don't really get it. I don't get why at this point in Joe Flacco's career, Tomlin still wakes up in a cold sweat about playing against him.
Because
he's not a good quarterback anymore.
I do. I know why he wakes up in a cold sweat.
Because of what happened last year in the Colts game?
I don't think it's even... That's absolutely part of it because it's proof of concept.
But he was worried about that happening before it happened. Like, he had a premonition that Flacco might go in the game, and then it ended up beating them.
I know where the premonition comes from, but I mean, the whole point of it is, I think he doesn't like Barry on general merits, I think, because of he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and to Mike, he's not a real ball knower. He's not like a true football guy. Whatever.
He's an analytics guy. He's numbers guy.
Omar Khan's an analytics guy, right. But he's our analytics guy.
And I boss him around, maybe.
And Andy Weidel is our football guy, and he's as football as it gets.
Sure.
I think this is why he's afraid of Joe Flacco, which is the real thing. I think my Mike Tomlin checks under his bed for Joe Flacco every night comment continues to be more and more valid. This is why. Joe Flacco is the outcome with Flacco when Tomlin is on the other side running a defense is very binary, I think. It is either one of two things. Tomlin's pass rush consistently gets home on Joe Flacco and forces him into the kind of mistakes that are bad Joe Flacco and sacks him because he's immobile. Or Joe Flacco does not get bothered by a pass rush, knows the answers to the tests that Tomlin is providing, and carves him up. When Tomlin plays Dillon Gabriel, is he worried about Dillon Gabriel knowing where to go with the football, not panicking if he's got a clean pocket?
No.
Not really. It's what, pretty much how he feels about most rookies. Mike is worried about quarterbacks, and this goes back to Tom Brady, which even straddled into the Dick LeBeau era, frankly. Even if they're just immobile statues, if they don't get touched by a blitz, the answers to the test present themselves, and those guys know where to put the football. And Mike knows that. Mike knows that if his pass rush does not get to Joe Flacco, that Joe Flacco won't panic, that Joe Flacco knows what he's seeing, he'll get the clear picture, and he'll start cooking.
Okay, so do you agree with him? Are you worried about Joe Flacco? Is he right?
Under one condition. Does your pass rush get home? He's much scarier than Jake Browning for Mike.
Great, Chris. Like,
he's much scarier than Jake Browning would have been.
You just said the boilerplate thing that every
unlike the Bengals
football
quarterback,
guy says about quarterbacks. Fine. If you give anybody time, they can pick you apart.
Unlike the quarterback that the Bengals were going to put out there before they traded for Joe Flacco, I think Joe Flacco on the right it can beat the Steelers Thursday. Yes.
Okay, that still really doesn't answer the question. Are you worried about Joe Flacco?
Yes, because he played Green Bay and they hardly got run off the field. He had them in that game against a team that I would imagine most Steelers fans don't feel all that great about the Steelers playing in a couple of weeks.
They did virtually nothing in the first half of that game and I think went 3 and out the first 5 possessions.
Was it not a one possession game pretty late?
It was a one possession game because the Bengals scored a touchdown to take it from 2 down to 1 and never really threatened to win the game though. I mean, the final score wasn't really close, and the game was never close.
I mean, the final score was well within the spread, which I know very well because
yes,
I picked it.
Yes, the spread was 15. It was like a college football spread.
I think
congratulations, Bengals, you covered. You didn't exactly strike fear in the Packers on
Joe
Sunday.
Joe Flacco smoked the Steelers last year with Michael Pittman and maybe...
They've got weapons in Indy.
Yes.
We know that. We're seeing what they're
Jamar
doing
Chase
now. They're the highest scoring offense in the AFC.
They also do not have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, who, of course, we know Mike thinks is a goon.
No, but what Indy has is an offensive line. They have a really good play caller, and they have maybe, now that Saquon's having a down year, the best running back in the NFL. The Bengals have, I haven't looked this up, they might have the worst rushing attack in NFL history. They might be the worst team we've ever seen at running the football through 6 games of a season. Their offensive line, they've done what the Steelers have done. They've put money and draft picks into it. It doesn't work. It ain't working.
Oh, it's going to be one-dimensional offense.
So they can't run it. The offensive line stinks. Zach Taylor's not Shane Steichen. And you're still worried? You still subscribe to the Mike Tomlin theory, which is, I've seen Joe Flacco 15 years ago throw the ball 50 yards downfield and either complete it to Torrey Smith or get a pass interference penalty.
Pretty simple. I've seen Joe Flacco stand in the pocket in the last 365 days and cook a Steelers defense where Mike was desperate to keep Anthony Richardson on the field and worried about it. I think Joe Flacco with, for my money, still at worst a top 3 receiver in the league and probably a top 15 to 18 receiver in the league as his running buddy, can absolutely give the Steelers fits.
No quarterback has played the Steelers more. He's played more games against the Steelers, Joe Flacco, than any quarterback in NFL history. Are you worried about Joe Flacco on Thursday night? 412-928-9370. Donnie, how about you? Yay or nay? Worried about Joe? Last year you were clairvoyant. I heard you on pregame. I was on your pregame.
Yeah.
I was in a press box where I could get the video to work and Kabali couldn't.
Correct.
And so I had to do more work because Mark was technology illiterate. And you were saying those things. You were calling it before the game. I hope Anthony Richardson plays. I hope he does, because Flacco can come in off the bench cold and slice and dice this defense. Do you have the same concerns Thursday night?
So I have a little bit of it, but what is nice is that they can fully game plan for this, because that's what caught them off guard, even though they knew Joe Flacco was the backup anyway in Indy last year. That was like the first excuse that got made. Well, we prepared for Anthony Richardson. He's much different than Joe Flacco. We weren't prepared for Joe Flacco. getting to have that prep on him, I think, does help quite a bit here. Now,
you don't sound worried. I think you're doing the thing where, like, you're giving Joe Flacco a little tip of the cap because he's had a great career. But I don't actually think you're worried that Friday morning we're going to come in here and you're going to be like, can you believe this old timer, this senior citizen?
Who's as old as your quarterback?
Yeah, but I was going to say Aaron moves better, but he really doesn't.
He moved a little bit better. I mean, Flacco's never moved well.
I think Flacco could beat them if they can't get to him. But the last three games, they've had, what, 17 sacks?
That's the same thing Chris said. But no, does anybody actually believe they won't get to him? That's the thing. Like, if you had to make a bet on this game, will they sack Joe Flacco more than 5 times? Yes. Maybe they don't because he just throws the ball away and it's just a dead play and he's savvy that way. But there are going to be a lot of plays in this game where he's like, well, I can't go anywhere because my feet are in cement.
He got sacked once by the Packers.
I know. I watched that game, though. He did what I'm describing where it's like, well, this play's screwed because I'm about to get blasted. There you go. Out of bounds. There you go. Throw it in the turf.
If Joe Flacco goes 29 of 40.
Dead play.
If Joe Flacco has his exact line against the Steelers that he had against the Packers,
yeah.
29 of 45, 219, 2 touchdowns, no picks.
The Steelers, I think, can still win, for sure.
Will they win?
Yes, I think they will.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of that, too, was second half stat padding. And if you get a lead,
I mean, it wasn't as much of a garbage time affair. It was 10-7 at one point, then it was 17-10, and then it got to 24-10, and then it was 24-18 with 4.5 to go. There are teams that have absolutely won games this
24
year.
24-18 with the Packers having the ball.
Yes, they were 1-3 and out away from getting it back with a chance to take the lead.
But there aren't 3 and outs against the Bengals defense. That's the other thing. It's not Joe Flacco and the 0-8 Ravens coming
then
in
why
here.
Why didn't the Packers have like 40 points?
Because they're Green Bay. They lost to Joe Flacco's Browns on the road. Sometimes Jordan Love just sort of does dumb things, like the interception he threw at the beginning of the game. It's what keeps him from getting in the conversation with the Josh Allens and Patrick
Mahomes. So why are we denigrating a Green Bay team that beat the Lions by 2 touchdowns, beat the Commanders by 2 scores, and...
Because that's the NFL. Okay. Philadelphia looked like world beaters for the first 3 weeks, and now they look like ass.
Wouldn't that's just... the NFL be a perfect example like of that statement be Joe Flacco with a second week with his new team actually gets one over on the Steelers or throws a major scare into
the Steelers? Well, Mike Tomlin makes it sound that way. Yeah. Mike Tomlin sounds like he believes that. Mike Tomlin sounds like a guy who was already counting this as a win when Jake Browning was there because he figured with the way Browning plays, his team was going to set a record for takeaways on Thursday night.
Jake Browning
and guess
was
what?
Playing
they,
horribly.
But guess what? They still might because it's not as if Flacco always protects the football, both with being old and getting hit, and also once in a while he just throws it up and says, here, jump ball, maybe you'll come down and catch it instead of my guy. He had 6 picks for Cleveland. That's why he partially got benched. I'm just surprised of all the times for Tomlin to be like, I'm pissed that another team made a move. It's over this. A guy that his defense should absolutely roast.
But didn't the last time he was in a game against them?
But
they
Donnie
didn't.
Donnie laid out the circumstances very well. They prepared for the most athletic quarterback in the entire league. It's like, I think I'm going to play a basketball game against a guy that can literally break my ankles on every possession. And instead, he doesn't show up. And here comes Uncle Steve, who's got all these pump fake moves, and he's got Ben Gay on his elbows and ass. And he's, you know what I'm talking about.
He's wearing an ace bandage.
It's an old man game. They got old man gamed in that matchup against the Colts.
I almost
it happens
a guy
in sports sometimes.
I
veteran
almost
savvy
an old man
took
guy.
Over. Yeah, I know. It's
he
annoying.
He had a knee brace
absolutely
and an ace
annoying.
Bandage, and I think I was ready to fight.
There should not be a quarterback that Steelers fans know more and have opinions more on than Flacco, because you've seen him more than any quarterback. You've seen Joe Flacco play against your team more than Tom Brady.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The story is Joe Flacco. You know, it's reasonable to expect him to be significantly better in week two. Been in the stadium with him. They've been in the stadium with him. They understand his demeanor, how he deals with circumstances. I'd imagine they worked hard a week ago on developing timing and cohesion. I'd imagine it's taken a significant step after having done so under some live football circumstances. I saw him make some anticipatory throws even last week. Thought he was significantly better as the game wore on. Certainly, we got a full week's work ahead of us in terms of minimizing a veteran, savvy, talented thrower like him, coupled with the eligibles that they have.
The story is Joe Flacco. Tomlin's pissed that the Browns traded him in division. Tomlin might even feel like the Browns did it to try to screw the Steelers.
Well, think about
it. He didn't get asked that, but I don't doubt it's possible.
Well, think about it from Mike's perspective. He had been benched, so you weren't going to see him because they had given up on him for the time being to let Dylan Gabriel get runs. So, okay, you're avoiding Broadway Joe unless you... Tomlin probably, if Flacco was still in the Browns, would have given his defense specific orders to sack Gabriel nicely so he didn't get hurt. And then, presumably, you have Jake Browning waiting for you, all of his 8 interceptions in his game action this year. Human turnover machine. And Mike probably looked at that and said, I can deal with that. That's like essentially easy pickings for me. Now he's got Flacco, and this is Flacco's numbers. Or these are just the game totals, the last 4 times he's seen Tomlin, okay? 27-24 in relief of Richardson, a win last year. 23-16, the Steelers beat Baltimore in 2018. Okay.
It had been that long.
Yeah.
So he's only seen Flacco one time post COVID.
I believe so. Yeah.
So all this stuff that happened is like the only guy that still,
as a matter of fact, the last time he saw him with the Ravens.
Yeah.
That was the game that ended Flacco's run as the starter.
Yeah,
Jackson started
Jackson
the next game.
So the only guys that are still around from that are Boswell, Hayward, and him.
Yep.
From actually facing Flacco annually.
Yeah. Flacco that same September though. 26-14 Ravens win. Flacco, 2 touchdown passes in the first quarter.
Chris, I get it.
363.
He's had his moments. He's played a ton of games against the Steelers. He's won 12. He's lost 13.
But he has, for the most part, 3 out of the last 4 times that Mike has seen him, okay?
Yep.
Flacco has either put up pretty good or excellent numbers. And more to the point,
I know, but so many of those games are so long ago. Who cares? He's 40 now.
But realistically, what is all that different about Joe Flacco at 40 versus Joe Flacco at 33? Has he suddenly lost foot speed that he once had?
No, not really.
Mike has even said it. He knows what he's looking at. He has seen every defense in the book. And if he has time to step up from a clean pocket on a clean platform and let it rip, there is no trepidation about what he's doing.
Twitter is absolutely split on this. Are Steelers fans worried about Joe Flacco Thursday night? It's 50-50. It's right down the middle. Tomlin would vote yes. Malzi would vote yes. How about you? 412-928-9370 at 224. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. 724-443-5610. Here is Nate on the fan. Hello, Nate.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I just want to make just two quick points about it and follow up with a question here. But I can understand why Mike Tomlin is scared of Joe Flacco. I'm not, but if I coach the way Mike Tomlin did against, you know, veteran quarterbacks, the way that they scare him, he coaches in his fears. So 100%, if he coaches the way that he typically does, which is, you know, you got to bring the numbers, you got to get after Joe Flacco and sack him. But I think you guys kind of buried the lead here when you first brought this topic up. And what I find more interesting is, with how veteran savvy Mike Tomlin is, the choice to go out of his way to request to have this question brought up leads me to believe that he believes there's really something there, possibly with the collusion of the Browns trying to stick it to him. Because whether Joe Flacco is a threat or not, you know, that's up for Mike Tomlin to worry about. But it obviously concerned him enough that he thought this was worth bringing up. Nate, I think that's interesting.
Question, if the Browns really wanted to stick it to him and knew he feared Joe Flacco that much, why didn't they just keep Joe Flacco and start him against the Steelers?
I think that probably comes from a directive from the team, right? The Browns aren't doing well as it is. I think that the ownership has two quarterbacks they'd like to see that aren't Joe Flacco to see what they have for the future. So I think that they probably got the directive to not play Joe Flacco again, so they have him as a trade asset.
You said something interesting, though, too. Your point is that you don't think Tomlin's a good coach against veteran quarterbacks. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you'd have to look at the numbers, but I know for a fact that even when guys are past their prime or are not good, you hear the way he talks about every team, like, you know, they're the Bears from the 80s, and, right. and they're just not. But I think that that's why you see his clamoring for Russell Wilson at the time and for Aaron Rodgers now. You know, I think that he just has an enormous amount of respect for veterans, and I think he tends to coach scared when he plays guys that he's afraid of.
But how would that manifest itself? Like, he gives the guy more respect than he's due and, like, thinks he, like, has his team play more conservatively because he thinks a veteran quarterback is going to be able to exploit an aggressive defense.
He feels like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that he plays differently and gets carved up as a result. I just think Mike has his way of playing defense that he likes. It is pressure-based and confusion-based. Like, the pressure causes confusion right. because it speeds these guys up. And I think Mike looks at Flacco as one of a handful of players in the league who aren't going to get sped up and could cook him if they don't get hit.
One of his best wins as an underdog in the NFL might actually be his biggest is when they beat Brady here a couple years ago when he came in with Tampa. And Kenny got hurt and Trubisky went in.
Exception that proves the rule to me. And also, Brady had been at, Robert Kraft's wedding
the day
before. Yeah, and
didn't really care about football anymore.
Correct.
Here is Mark next. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. Hey, not to get off topic here. I got a fight yesterday at work over this, and I want your opinion. How bad are we that we screwed up George Pickens that bad that we couldn't get him to do what he's doing down in Dallas? Now, I know the CD Lamb injury has played this favor, but we had wide receiver too. We gave him the doubt. Like, I mean, how bad are we?
Dak Prescott is better than any quarterback the Steelers have had since Ben in 2018, I would say.
Wait a minute. So you think that Dak right now is definitively better than Rodgers?
Yes. I don't think it's close.
Why is that?
I think Dak is playing at an extraordinarily high level to keep the Cowboys even semi-relevant.
Okay. But he's got...
I don't know, man. He's got a passer rating of about 105.
Sure.
He's got the most completions and attempts, so they're not really running the ball much. He's got 13
right.
touchdowns, man. I think he's been unbelievably good.
He's had a fantastic year, but I'm just surprised that you think you've also been very high on Rodgers this year, and Rodgers, you know, if we're looking at resumes, it's not even close.
I'm
Rodgers
saying
is,
right now, I would much rather have Dak Prescott as my starting quarterback.
So what would DK Metcalf do in the Dallas offense? Would he be the greatest wide receiver of all time?
I think DK Metcalf would have very good numbers. Maybe not 525 and 6, but he probably wouldn't be far off.
I would honestly feel, and I know you disagree with me on this, I would feel like if the Steelers had George Pickens right now, and I didn't, and I loved the trade when it happened, and I was sick of the guy, but this version of George Pickens, the Steelers would be a Super Bowl favorite if they had him.
I don't think this version of him exists. I just think it's a false premise because I don't think this version of George Pickens would manifest here, both in the way they run their offense and the fact that Metcalf would still, I think, be target number one for them.
But they would change their offense if they had both of those guys.
I mean, Dak also, I don't know how much time Dak has had to throw, like, on average, but it feels to me like they have probably a little bit better pass protection than the Steelers had early in the season.
I don't think their offensive line is great. I mean, they've run the ball pretty well. Javonte Williams is a top five rusher, but they've had wholesale changes to their offensive line. It's not a great unit.
I just refuse to believe that George Pickens would be having this kind of year, and I think you'd be getting a guy who'd be ticked off in a contract year that he would be the second option, and right now he is the first option with a bullet down there.
Well, and so your prediction must be when CeeDee Lamb comes back, the honeymoon's over for him.
I do think that's the case.
412-928-9370. There you have it from Malzi.
He got into a fight at work about that with somebody? You imagine if people just came to fisticuffs about that?
But I could see it, because I think that people are very dug in on it. I think it's an absolutely lightning rod topic. We've done it, and you've got people that are on both sides that don't want to see the middle at all. So, yeah, I get it. I totally get that. If anything, that might be, of all the things we could talk about, that would be the thing that would piss people off on both sides the most. The people that think Pickens would put the Steelers over the top can't understand where the other side's coming from. And people like you who are like, he would lose his mind here and bitch up a storm and be a malcontent are like, how could anybody actually think he would put up numbers here?
That's
so, yeah.
Pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Mike Tomlin broke his own rule, blasted the Browns for trading Joe Flacco. He never does that. He hasn't done that in almost 20 years. My theory is he's nervous about Joe Flacco and scared that Joe Flacco could beat the Steelers on Thursday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Day night.
Caleb Johnson, specifically maybe bouncing back on our confidence.
What do you mean?
I mean, after the muffed kick there before.
That has nothing to do with his ball carrying. He's never lacked confidence as a ball carrier. He's been continually growing and developing in that area. When given an opportunity to get some reps, he's been good, and we expect that to continue. He hasn't been given an opportunity to bounce back from the kick return, and so it's a separate discussion for me.
Listen to the PM team. That's us on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. This segment is our PM team Tomlinism of the Week conversation. That, what you heard there, was not the Tomlinism. It was Mike getting snippy with one of our favorites, Ashley Lyotis from Channel 4, which turned out to be a theme from the Tomlin press conference, which is going to get me to the Tomlinism of the Week. You hear that Tomlin press conference at noon here on Tuesdays. And if you're a regular to that, you know that around the 12:25 mark, getting close to 12:30, the Steelers head of PR will butt in and say any more questions. He'll try to wrap that thing up. That will be his sign or clue that Mike Tomlin has just about had it with the interrogations and the Q&A. So that happened yesterday, and there were like six more questions that came in. And Mike gave very short, curt answers to all of them. And on his way out the door, Malzi, he said this.
Well, you guys were annoying me today.
Man, you guys were annoying me today.
Mike, you should know what you do to us every Sunday.
That is our Tomlinism of the Week. Man, you were annoying me today.
Cool.
I find that he is like this.
After wins.
After wins, exactly.
Oh, when they lose in really embarrassing fashion, he turns on the charm. It's a charm offensive. But when they're winning and he's feeling good, man, he doesn't have to tell anybody bleep.
It's the opposite of what you might think out there. Oh, they won. Good mood. Chipper,
no.
Ready to go.
No,
it's like he woke up on the wrong side of the bed and someone urinated in his Cheerios. That's what you get when they're riding high. When they're not, there's more of a...
Dude, there's the very famous story when they
no
lost to the Vikings.
No longer rough around the edges, Mike. When softer they, side of Mike.
When they lost to the Vikings in London in like 2013, I think Kabali or somebody tells the story that he was like on the field or after the game asking people about their families.
Yeah,
and like how they were doing.
Yep, like, at 0-4.
Yes.
Here's another example of what I'm talking about. Good job by Will Graves. I think fans care about what's going on with Pat Freiermuth. So this starts with, I think, tight end. No, it goes, I think, right into Freiermuth. I believe the question is in here from Graves. Let's hear it.
So not out there complaining about it. Told me yesterday, hey, look, my time is going to come. Do you find that that mindset, which hasn't necessarily been the way it's been here for a while, maybe pervasive throughout the offensive unit as a whole, and how much of this may be Aaron's influence in it?
I think that is very reflective of the environment here. I disagree with you. He's a good teammate. We're winning games. We're gaining cohesion. He's certainly capable. He knows his time is going to come to ante up and kick in. He better be ready. I'm sure he will be. That's just how we go about our business.
So just argumentative, pedantic, like Will makes not an observation as much as puts his opinion in the question. Hey, you've had a lot of self-centered, spoiled players for a long time.
Mike,
here's
no,
a guy
I haven't.
Who's, yeah, here's a guy who's doing the opposite. No, you're wrong.
Hey, Mike, if you haven't had a lot of self-centered, spoiled players, why were you okay with the team trading George Pickens?
Yeah, I guess I give Will some credit there. Because
he's telling the truth, and Mike doesn't want to hear the truth.
Because I could see myself after that answer being a dink and like, oh, you know what, being sarcastic. Oh, you're right, Mike. I just imagined Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and George Pickens.
And Deontay Johnson.
And all the, yes, exactly. And all these guys who moped or did worse on social media and things like that.
They were actually terrific teammates.
Yeah. Guys who didn't show up to practice, Melvin Ingram because they wanted traded. LeGarrette
Juju
Blunt.
Dancing on a logo, yeah. Fumbling a ball later.
You're right.
You definitely don't have a history of asking very direct questions of coaches that lead them to want to leave the podium and strangle the life out of you. Yeah. You've never done that in your career.
You've never had to say we want volunteers, not hostages, because Correct. Somebody was holding your team hostage with their selfish behavior.
Yeah, he's,
thanks, Mike.
He's prickly today.
And I don't
yesterday.
Even really want to... Like, Mike is in my, he's like in a safe zone right now. He's like in a sanctuary city. I'm not like in the mood to rip Mike. I don't know if that was the right term. Probably wasn't. He's got sanctuary for me right now.
Yeah, but when he's like in the club, he's found, like if he's inside the velvet ropes at Club Pony, here's the problem.
He's found a port in the storm.
He's a perpetual, he's like one false move
sure.
away from being
yeah.
from being chucked out like by the belt
That's right.
and by the collar.
Lose to Cincinnati on Thursday Whoosh. And I'll be ready to say some nasty things about him. But right now, why should I? That's why it like kind of... But you know what? Bottom line here
isn't his press conference supposed to be more than anything kind of for entertainment?
Yes, and that's
and it's pretty entertaining when he's being a standoffish jerk.
Right.
To the
and the other thing I was going to say is one thing that every person listening probably thinks is that they know more than the media, and that they generally don't like the media,
and that they also would ask better questions than the media if
right.
they, the fans, were
So here is
in
a
there.
Coach that's winning. And he wants to give the media a hard time, and that's probably going to get him to score points with Steelers fans.
I think you kind of got a sense, though, of what a fan question to him would sound like when Tank got in there and was like, he's getting killed out there.
You know what actually the Steelers should do, in all seriousness? Would be great. Would be a great promotion, and like the old school journalists
would
hate it. You know, Bob Smysak would go on like a Twitter storm about it.
Yes. I know what you're going
to
say.
They should say, we're not going to... censor the person. We're not going to know the question in advance. We will draw at random. One fan per press conference mm-hmm. is allowed to ask a question on Tuesdays and say, here is the fan question, and that person represents the fans and is able to ask one question. I think that would be cool.
The person's in the room and gets
yeah.
to read it.
And just like, how does that person do? What was the question they came up with? You know, like, it would be cool because it would A, be giving a voice to the fan, but also it would be showing people like, there's not a lot of folks out there that have the balls or the guts to go in there and just ask a question like, hey, Mike, why haven't you been fired? You know?
Yeah, the key is the person can't just have their question selected and read by like a neutral party.
Yeah.
They have to go in there and,
right.
and face him and ask it.
Mm-hmm. But also like make it so it's not always a softball question.
Can you imagine Adrian from the YouTube comments going in there?
Well, apparently Adrian would kiss
he's
his
been
butt
ripping,
because
he's been
saying,
ripping Tomlin.
Why? He said they're going to win the Super Bowl.
He said Tomlin's their only weak link, but I think he might have said that after like the Vikings game or something.
Here's Anthony in Oakland. Hello, Anthony.
Fellas, you're missing the real point. What he's done is reverse psychology.
Okay.
He's getting his team ready of a short week to know that this is business here. We got to take care of business, and he's building Flacco up for
no,
them.
No, but no, I would generally agree with you. But he literally out of nowhere this year brought up a story about how he told this team, don't let Anthony Richardson get hurt because I don't want to face Joe Flacco. So we know his true feelings on Flacco. He thinks Flacco's a dangerous man.
That's part of the buildup. Let me tell you why.
So wait a minute. Well, hold on. I'll let you do whatever you want, but I'm just going to ask you this. You think Tomlin actually think Flacco sucks?
No. Here's what I think he thinks. He thinks he wants to make sure that what happened to them last year doesn't repeat when they were not prepared when Flacco got in and he carved them up. Because let me tell you why. They played Aaron Rodgers last year against the Jets.
Yeah,
he didn't build Aaron Rodgers up like this.
No, he didn't.
He wasn't talking about Aaron Rodgers before.
So do you think he texted like the Browns beforehand and was like, "Yo, Andrew Berry, I don't actually like hate your guts and think you did a dumb thing. I'm only saying this because I need to get my team fired up. Please don't take this personally."
I'm not going to go that far, but what I'm saying is, I think this is because you know why, Scott? He knows what's going to happen this week. This is not your typical slug it out game. He's going to go in there saying, you know what, this is just going
Anthony,
to be like...
Anthony, are you worried
Joe
about Joe Flacco or not? Answer the question is directly, black or white, binary,
no.
Yes or no?
I would say no, he's not. Okay.
I'm saying you. I'm saying Anthony in Oakland.
Oh, I'm not. No, okay. I'm not. Because I saw Flacco most of this year. He's god-awful. He threw more interceptions.
He's god-awful.
Anthony,
remember that line, Mulsey.
Did you hang up on Anthony?
God,
I was
going
to say, what would Anthony ask if he was in there? We know he's been at the labor negotiation table. He wouldn't be cowed by Tomlin.
Like, why didn't you cut that bastard Cam Hayward when you had a chance? Why didn't you cut that money-hungry Cam Hayward who's won you single-handedly games in places like New England this year? I should have actually asked Anthony that. Anthony, you've been quiet on Cam Hayward lately. You still hate his guts? You still think they should have cut him and his brother?
Nice play by
his brother on Sunday.
I don't think Anthony would give us the satisfaction of saying, no, he's played really well. I think Anthony would, he would never, like a good boxer on defense, he would never give us a clean shot like that and let us take it.
Here's Nathan in Slippery Rock. Hello, Nate.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
We're good.
So, I personally agree with Tomlin on this one, which does not happen very often. I'm concerned with Joe Flacco. I kind of agree with Mulsey, something he said. His play style has not changed since when we played him pre-COVID every year. He pretty much ended Justin Fields' Steelers career last year, I think it's fair to say. He's thrown 27 passing, 5,000 yards against the Steelers. So I think it pretty much goes to show why Tomlin is all fired up for Cleveland making a poor decision and trading him to Cincinnati. And then in terms of George Pickens,
to be very clear, like if you go outside of the Pittsburgh bubble in Tomlin's opinion, NFL people who like decide
they're crushing Mike for this. It's like the one thing I've seen them gang up on him.
They
for
think
ever.
That it's like a very good trade by the Browns. Like that overall, as far as asset management goes, they think this is very good.
But I'm saying they're pissed that Mike actually had the balls to call out another GM like this. They thought it was inappropriate. But anyways, what were you going to say, Nate?
Yeah, so I was just going to say in terms of the George Pickens thing, we weren't going to re-sign him. He's playing fantastic right now. And I don't truthfully think that Aaron Rodgers was going to sign with us had George Pickens been on our roster. I don't think that he was going to want to deal with the head case in
probably
his last
right.
year.
In fact, I think you're
right. I just think we made the right decision to sign Aaron Rodgers because, truthfully, we had no answer at quarterback. We'd probably be too...
Well, when you put it that way, thanks. Would you rather have, you know, Justin Fields at quarterback or somebody like that and George Pickens and DK Metcalf? My answer is obviously no. I'd prefer Aaron Rodgers. And I do think Aaron Rodgers was like, yeah,
I'm not dealing
I
with
want
that.
My last my 1 year in Pittsburgh to be fun, and I don't think I'm going to have a good
Give
time
Give me
with
a reasonable
guy.
Facsimile of George Pickens physically without the headache if you can find one.
Well, they already had that. Right?
What? Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, they already had that. He was probably like, yeah, I can make it work with Metcalf, and I don't need...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.